This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon. Mark Murphy is off today. Now, in this segment, we will consider reusing existing space for, well, new functions. Adapting an old building for an emerging business, for example. Our guest to talk about that is Rhode Island School of Design professor Lillian Wong, who heads the Interior Architecture Department at RISD. And Professor Wong has published about adaptive reuse and designs. Her interests include designs for low-income modular housing, and she is also a registered architect. Thanks for joining us, Professor.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, former mill buildings and other old stock manufacturing companies and complexes, they seem to be great places to adapt to install some of the newest tech companies. What's the attraction of these old buildings?
Well, the old buildings have a specific column grid, and it allows for free-form office spaces, and so that the startups can sort of move desks around, move spaces around easily as they grow in their business. They might start taking only one bay and then expand without actually building walls.
There is a term called adaptive reuse that's entering the architectural world and the world of business. Generally, what is that? What is that? Describe that, please.
Well, adaptive reuse is quite broad. We focus only on adaptive reuse in our department at RISD, and we would say that it begins on one side with the reuse of any existing structure, and on the farther side to perhaps taking a building and adding to it, slicing part of it off, putting something on top of it, wrapping it in a new skin. And so those are the different ranges of adaptive reuse. The ones that we're most accustomed to speaking about are reuse of existing structures like the mill buildings, where you would already have services, you would have stairs, and all of those things cost a good amount of money. So startups would gravitate towards that kind of space with open plan, with columns, as I had said before, and sort of tap into all of the services that are already existing in that particular building. And existing buildings, on the other hand, the much larger ones can become very exciting places to sort of develop your architectural skills these days. Many of the most well-known architects are starting to embrace adaptive reuse. Some of the most innovative work in Europe, elsewhere, have been cases of adaptive reuse. In Barcelona, the Swiss firm of Herzog & de Meuron, in fact, took a 19th century power building, lifted the entire thing up and floated it, sliding an entire glass floor on the bottom. And it has brought enormous attention, as you can imagine, to an underutilized, unknown heritage building.
Where does the idea come from for a particular building? I mean, who drives down the street and says, aha, that's what I want?
Well, part of it could be architectural heritage. Some people, value certain buildings, and they don't exactly get saved under architectural registration or preservation. But, you know, there are certain parts that make Providence what it is, or any other city. And therefore, a developer might decide they would like to save that building and put it to good use while making use of the economics. Other times, for example, at RISD, we've been working with the city of Newport to work on some of their amazing heritage buildings. This past semester, 12 students, myself and two other professors, worked on the Newport Congregational Church, which is one of the latest U.S. National Landmark buildings, with a heritage interior by John Lafarge, who is not the nemesis, but someone whose name one does not know. You clearly know Tiffany, but Tiffany and John Lafarge, they couldn't exist without each other. And so we actually took the inside of the church and decided to look at adaptive reuse, how you can reuse that church, because unfortunately the congregation has dwindled to approximately 15 from 700. It seats 700. And so it is on exhibit this entire summer. using technical textiles, which is a new innovative area of the market. We have floated an entire inflatable ceiling inside the John Lafarge Newport Congregational Church, turning it into an art gallery. So that's a different kind of adaptive reuse, not business related, but it's actually bringing attention to this landmark building, and hopefully it will generate some funds for restoring the work.
Our guest is Rhode Island School of Design Professor Lillian Wong. Now, as a layman, I might see a space in traditional terms with length and height and area. What might you visualize for that same space?
Well, my students and I talk about usually the craziest way you can think of. At RISD, one always thinks of reinventing the wheel if at all possible. And so while it could just be paint, depending on the budget, it could also be turned into, you know, sometimes we think of it as a woven structure. Sometimes we think of it as anything that your imagination sets it to be as you imagine it. And my students come up with some crazy things. So, for example, again, the Newport Congregational Church we talked about earlier, we had schemes for turning it into a 3D place for tweeting. So instead of tweeting on your phone, it becomes screens, and you can actually see your tweets. Then it was also turned into a mobile food market, dealing with the upscale neighborhoods of Newport. And so, you know, that's what we teach in our program, how you can actually look at the exact same space and push it and pull it as you see fit.
And continuing with that a bit, what might be the difference between, we'll say, space for thinking, for strategy, and space for production, for business?
Well, the space for production would differ from business to business. And so that's what we might call core space that you would need. So aside from the services I mentioned, for instance, a printing company would need a huge amount of machinery and ventilation, as opposed to, let's say, office space. And for example, Google offices now have all kinds of places to help your thinking juices start to flow. So for example, they might think that you should play tennis before you go to a meeting, or have a jungle gym instead of having a meeting. So we could talk jumping on the trampoline, hopefully coming up with new ideas. And so those would be the larger, more amorphous space, as opposed to the hardcore space that require different dimensions, technical aspects, ventilation, et cetera.
With digital technology advancing, do workplaces have to be as large as they are now? You know, large office buildings, can work be adapted to a smaller space?
Absolutely. In fact, there's a very interesting project called Toolbox. It's in Milan, and we published it 3 years ago in our journal. And what they have is a gigantic old mill building. And what they are trying to do is squeeze all 24 hours of that building. So the premise is that everyone's working from home on their computers through digital technology. And that you don't always need to be in an office space, but sometimes you do. And so they have a huge amount of clientele who then have badges, and the badges let them tell the company when they need a space, when they might need this particular space, a space with acoustics, a space, you know, that has the machinery, might have Xeroxing, what have you. And what they do is they pair them up so that they use it all 24 hours a day. If you have, let's say, business in Asia, then you might come in at nighttime. And so it actually makes complete use of the space, and you would get 365 days of 24-hour use.
Any wild ideas quickly as we wrap up for the immediate future? What is something that might happen that I'm certainly not thinking about, but you are?
Well, we are always on the lookout for adapting and also expanding our view of adaptive reuse into bringing it more into the U.S. It's less well-known in the United States than, let's say, in parts of Europe. And the reason we are so interested in it is, aside from the idea of architectural heritage and saving even modern heritage, is the energy consumption. The U.S. consumes about, the building sector consumes about 48% of all energy, the building sector. And by reusing appropriately, we get to make it a much more sustainable practice.
Okay. We've been looking at using old space for new ideas, new ventures with Rhode Island School of Design professor Lillian Wong. Thanks to Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy, who is away today. I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.